May 1956. Ring in the new. Rabindranath Tagore, in a well-known poem, has given felicitous expression to the striking idea that certain prominent aspects of life, which generally seem in our eyes contradictory and therefore mutually exclusive, are in reality complementary, being, as it were, the obverse and reverse of a single coin. Most of our troubles and nearly all our sorrows are caused by the fact that we insist upon seeing one aspect of life only, usually that which immediately confronts us. Take, for example, one of the commonest facts of life, that of death. In reality, birth and death are inseparable, the one following the other in uninterrupted succession. But we see only death, forgetting birth. And seeing only death, we grieve. According to the poet, if we could see, too, the birth in which that death will inevitably result, if we could see the other side of the coin, death would be a cause not for sorrow, but for rejoicing. The moral is obvious. Every event, whatever its scope, duration, and dimension, can be regarded from two points of view simultaneously. It can be regarded either as the end of an old or as the beginning of a new mode of existence. This principle is particularly applicable to historical movements, in whose pages the lesson, since it is writ large, may be easily read. The Reformation in Europe, for instance, may be regarded as representing either the end of the Middle Ages or the beginning of the modern period. In other words, either as a death or as a birth. To the Catholic historian, it is the former, and therefore the cause of regret. To his Protestant counterpart, the latter, and thus an occasion for congratulation. To the average Englishman, to take an example from more recent times, the year 1947 marks the end of British rule in India. To the Indian, it means the beginning of a new era of independence. Thus, both of these great historic milestones, the Reformation and the year 1947, can be appraised from two points of view, which, apparently contradictory, are in reality complementary. No historical judgment can be considered complete which does not somehow include both. Here, as elsewhere, the truth is the whole. So it is in the case of the 2500th anniversary of the Maha Parinirvana of the Lord Buddha, which we celebrate this month. We can regard it either as marking the end of a cycle of 2.5 millenniums of spiritual achievement, cultural efflorescence and geographical expansion, or as inaugurating a new cycle of one knows not how many thousands of years. The kind of emotions which the occasion excites in us will be largely determined by which of these two viewpoints we adopt. If the former, our attitude will be retrospective, our mood reminiscent with perhaps more than a touch of nostalgia for the vanished glories of long ago. If the latter, it will be prospective, reaching forward into the future with an air of eagerness and expectation as of those who await the rising of the sun amid the setting stars. It is perhaps inevitable that most of the contributions in this issue of the journal represent the first rather than the second attitude. They deal more with the past of Buddhism than with its future. But the second is nevertheless no less valid than the first, and in respect of its influence upon the Buddhist movement today, even healthier. We cannot always be brooding over the past, though with a history so long and glorious behind them, it is hardly to be wondered at that followers of the Blessed One should yield sometimes to such a temptation. If we reflect on the past, it should be chiefly with the intention of deriving inspiration for the future. Ashoka extended the frontiers of Buddhism, he did not fix them for all time to come. hence the present anniversary, does not mean that the Buddhist world, with 25 centuries of achievement behind it, is now justified in resting still more comfortably upon its laurels. Rather does it mean that, enriched by 25 centuries of experience, it can now prepare itself for a concerted effort to make the limits of the Dharma conterminous only with the limits of the globe itself. For now, more than ever, does the world need the message of the Buddha, and in spreading that unique message of wisdom and compassion, the followers of the Enlightened One will be performing their duty not only to the Dharma itself, but to humanity. Let us therefore, on this unprecedentedly solemn and auspicious occasion, vow to make so great an effort for the worldwide dissemination of the Dharma that when, after 2.5 millenniums, we celebrate the 5,000th anniversary of the Mahapanibbana, we shall do so in a world united by a common allegiance of the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha.